When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, hour number two, betting around the rim. Keith Irizarry with you. Whole team is here. Kofsky and John and Sarah running the boards, doing all the heavy lifting behind the scenes. Steve and EJ as well. Most of you, I guess, hear those updates. The Shaka Smart thing to me was a shocker, for lack of a better word. I didn't even mean to do that there, but I did. I didn't see him leaving Texas. And I know that he was born in Rhode Island, but grew up in Madison, Wisconsin. So maybe it's a sort of a coming home thing. I'm interested to see more of the reason why for him to go there over the next couple of days. And maybe we could talk to Joe Lisi about that in about 25, 30 minutes when he joins the program. And tomorrow with Vin Parisi on the show as well. We got locked and loaded with some of these guests that we have over the next day and a half. But before we get into Shaka and some other things, let's do some Bracket Central. Ooh-wee, we are into the Sweet 16 at, 2:15, 2:10 p.m. Eastern time. We will have our first game on the slate. It is Creighton. It is Gonzaga. And I'm a little more jazzed up for this game than I thought I was going to be. And here is why. The Creighton Blue Jays are starting to look like the Creighton team they looked like at the beginning of the year. They 42% of their threes against Ohio. In the previous three games, they had made 20%. So that's the big question for Creighton. Can they keep up the scoring pace with Gonzaga, who averages 93 points per game on the season, leads America? And the problem is that Gonzaga also holds their opponents to just under 70 points per game. So Gonzaga scores, and they play defense. We don't even need to fully get into the players for Gonzaga. We know the players, Suggs and Timmy and Kispert, all pros, right? Nayai and all them, right? And Mark Few is a great coach. This game is not about Gonzaga. This game is about Creighton. Can Creighton hold Gonzaga to 78 points? If Gonzaga scores 78 points, Creighton's going to win this game. But here's the problem. Gonzaga's only been held under 80 three times all year long. Gonzaga wins this game. Gonzaga may even cover. I had Gonzaga covering the 15.5 against Oklahoma. They won by 16. This will be close. I'm not going to make a pick on that side. Let's just take Gonzaga to win the game. Roll in game number two on the day, Florida State and Michigan. Maybe the most intriguing game of the day. MJ Walker can flat out play for Florida State. Florida State 3-1 against the spread in their last five NCAA tournament games as an underdog. We see the line at 2.5-point dogs for Florida State. I think this is nip and tuck the whole way. I think this is a close game. The Isaiah Livers thing hasn't really affected Michigan yet. I wonder if it'll affect them today. A lot will be on the shoulders of Hunter Dickinson going up against a Florida State team that has three players that are you know, 6'11 or 6'10 and taller. They have a 7'1" center that plays. They're long, they're lanky, they're bouncy, they can jump, they're everywhere. Hunter Dickinson has got to step it up. He's a youngster, but he can flat out play. We know that. For a TV audience, you're seeing the numbers for the 7-footer, 14 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game. Michigan, 18-8 against the spread on the year, 1-1 against the spread during the tournament. It's a low number. I'm going to take Michigan to win and to cover, but I got to tell you the truth. I don't feel so confident in that one. It's one of those games where I sit there and go, should I take this or not? I'll roll with Michigan. I might try to parlay them with something. Welcome in our radio audiences. I am Keith Irizarry. It is Betting Around the Rim. I was messing around with a couple of parlays too that you could get some decent odds. If you were to go like Moneyline, Michigan, and then Creighton, if you don't believe that Gonzaga is going to win by the posted 13 points, you get into positive money for your parlay. All right, let's go to the late games now. UCLA, they're going to be hitting the court, and they're going to be squaring off against Alabama. Yet another interesting game that a lot of people probably didn't expect. Alabama, depending on where you're looking, about a 6.5-point favorite in this game. UCLA, they're great in transition. 94th percentile in transition defense. That's something they do well, right? Alabama, one of the top teams in transition offense. If UCLA is to win this game, they need to keep it slower pace. Johnny Juzang needs to do his thing. On the Alabama side of things, I love John Petty Jr. I don't know if we talk about him enough because, you know, Shackelford and a bunch of these other dudes can flat out play, but Petty Jr. is just one of those versatile Swiss Army knife type of players. UCLA has allowed the second highest three-point attempt rate to their opponents. And guess what? Alabama is the second highest in efficiency on offense. Only two, Gonzaga. I think Alabama ends up winning this game. They do not cover the 6.5 points. One game left on the slate. It is Oregon, is USC. It is a Pac-12 affair. You've got Oregon, didn't have to play a first game, and they came out and laid the wood to Iowa in the round of 32. USC absolutely shellacked Kansas in the round of 32. Something has got to give. Chris Duarte can flat out play. But you got the Mobley brothers in USC that patrol the blocks. And you got the older brother, Isaiah Mobley, doing his thing, hitting three-pointers at a high clip. Evan Mobley is going to be one of the top two picks in the draft. I love this game. It's fascinating to me. I think pace of play is going to matter in this one. If this ends up as a low-scoring game, it favors USC. They are defense, defense, defense. Oregon needs to find a way to score. They need to utilize their guard play because, you know, Richardson and Duarte and a bunch of them guys, they can play, they can shoot, they can slash. I like USC to win and to advance to the Elite Eight. Professor,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Keith's roll call up next, Betting Around the Rim.
Sports Grid BettingGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here at Sports Grid, betting around the rim, Keith Irizarry with you, by the way. We love to give you the edge, right? Look, we're trying to help you figure out how can you dive into the gambling space and get an edge. And we love the futures market. At least I love the futures market. I told you this at the beginning of betting on the rim a couple of months ago, some of the futures that I really love. And I think that it's worth revisiting things as we go through and then readjusting and reevaluating as well. And that's going to be the focus of today's Professor Keith's roll call. The smartest man on the network is here. That is right. Professor Keith is here to help you with everything you need. I say that facetiously. We have a lot of smart people here, men and women alike. Everyone has been dominating on this network, and it's been a lot of fun to be a part of this. All right, so the NBA hierarchy. And I know my TV audience, you're sneaky. You're getting a chance to see some of this on the right side of your screen. For the radio audience, you'll get a chance to hear me talk about all of this. I want to talk about the hierarchy in the NFL, in the NBA, not the NFL. We're going to do the top 10 right now, and I'm going to start with the Portland Trailblazers. They are the 10th best team in my estimation right now. This is all based off of what teams did during the trade deadline. Norman Powell is as sneaky good of a trade addition as we will get on this list. TV audience, you're seeing the numbers, 19.6 points per game this year. Averages over 20 when he's a starter. And he just clearly solidifies what the Blazers are. They are a team that will get into you a little bit defensively, but they're going to try to outscore you. And now, tell me how you stop that offense of CJ McCollum, Dame Dalla, Norman Powell, and then even mix in Nurkic now, who came back last night and played. The Blazers are scary. Now, the reason why I have them as 10th right now, they're six into the West, and I'm a little bit leery of how many teams they jump over. So that's why I have them at 10, willing to revisit this in about a month from now, see how Powell matriculates his way into that offense. The Phoenix Suns are number 9 for me, and you say, Keith, well, the Phoenix Suns are second in the West. You're a hater. I'm not a hater. They didn't make any moves at the break that moved the dial for me. Now, I could talk to you about Devin Booker, who is an all-star and playing like an all-star. I could talk to you about Chris Paul, who is an all-star and playing like an all-star. I can discuss DeAndre Ayton with you. I can discuss Mikal Bridges. Like, I can do all that with you. What I can tell you is there are teams ahead of them on my list because of what I project forward and what I see right now. Number 8 also comes from the Western Conference. It's the Denver Nuggets. And this one was hard for me because I was tempted to really catapult them and move them up this list a lot because of their trade additions. JaVale McGee got traded to them, and Chris Kaskowski, my producer, was like, who cares? Well, JaVale McGee is going to help them down low. JaVale McGee was a big reason why the LA Lakers made it through the bubble last year. Don't sleep on JaVale McGee just because he used to be on those Shaqt and a Fool episodes all the time. But the bigger reason is Aaron Gordon. And we can, digest and dissect this a little bit more. Aaron Gordon's numbers haven't been staggering with Orlando. They were good, not great. But Gordon can guard from 1 through sometimes 5, pretty much 4 or 5 different positions he can guard. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can shoot the ball, been shooting it at a 40% clip from the outside. So you love that. He obviously can dunk. We know about the dunking exploits. And he sneakily, making up a word, sneakily can play some defense. Mix him in with Jokic, Murray, my boy Michael Porter Jr., and now Aaron Gordon. The same way I said about the Blazers, about how you're stopping that trio, and even if you mix in Nurkic, that foursome right there, tell me how you're stopping this Nuggets foursome as well. The question mark for them is going to be defense, and that's the reason why I have them at number 8. Number 7 is the Miami Heat. And listen, this is clearly because the Miami Heat can't move up until they actually start winning games, right? They've lost 5-6 games in a row as we sit here and speak right now. Jimmy Butler is awesome. Dude, any night could give you a triple-double or at least, you know, fill that stat sheet and be really darn close to it. I love the Oladipo addition. I'm assuming LaMarcus Aldridge may end up in Miami as well, even more depth. Again, will we revisit this in a month and change our minds? But for FanDuel people out there, we saw them move the line from plus 4,400 before the trade to plus 3,000 now after the trade. And I know Kevin Wall said this on the early line. I tweeted it out earlier this week too. If you were going to get in on the Heat, you should have done it before the trade deadline. Still, you know, plus 3,000, not bad odds, not a bad play for you. How about the LA Lakers at number 6? Hater alert. No, I'm not a hater here. I love me some LA Lakers. I love me some LeBron James. I love me some Anthony Davis and Kuz and Schroeder and Harrell. I can't put them too high on this list when in my heart of hearts, they may end up being in the play-in round. They may end up between 7 and 10 in the Western Conference, because if I told you that Anthony Davis, LeBron James were not on this LA Lakers team, if I just said they're not actually there, they're not there. What are the Lakers? They're a bottom feeder. So I can't put them any higher until I know. I mean, Anthony Davis ramping up his workouts, which means what, 2 more weeks until maybe he gets on the court to like get banged around a little bit, which probably means another 2-3 weeks after that. They're going to continue to stumble and fall, so I got to be leery of them. The LA Clippers are at number 5. This is about Rajon Rondo, and this is about projecting forward to what he means to this LA Clippers team in the postseason. It takes the ball out of the hands of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George a little bit and removes some of the heavy lifting for them. Rondo's numbers, they're so-so. 10 points per game, 8 assists per game, 4.5 rebounds per game. That's not why you get Rajon Rondo. You get Rajon Rondo to help you win an NBA title. That's what Rondo did in LA last year for the Lakers. He can do that this year for the Clippers. Watch out. The Milwaukee Bucks lost for the first time last night in, what, 8 games? They did an 8-game winning streak, and Giannis is, he's a stud. I love the fact that he's falling back a little bit on his scoring. He's cool with that. You know, in the month of March, averaging over 26 points per game, giving you about 11 rebounds per game. It's the assist numbers that are rising. It's the free throw percentage that is rising. It's the three-point percentage that is rising. Love all of these numbers. And again, they're deep. They added PJ Tucker before the deadline, you know, a week ago. They've got pieces. They've got depth. I like the Milwaukee Bucks, but they are number 4. Number 3 is the Sixers. And this is clearly me saying that Embiid is going to come back and be healthy. If Embiid doesn't, I can't ride with them. But the Philadelphia 76ers haven't fully missed a beat without Embiid, which is something that we monitor and we like. And a part of that is because of Tobias Harris, who in the month of March, I tabulated some numbers, averaging 22.3, 7.9 rebounds per game, 4.3 assists per game, 52% from the field, 41% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. Tobias Harris says, hold my drink. I should have been an all-star. Number 2 is the Utah Jazz. Oh, you forgot. The Utah Jazz are leading the NBA in three-pointers made and three-point percentage and third in points per game and top 5 in defensive rating efficiency. Don't forget the Utah Jazz just because that historical run of, what, 20 wins in a row and covering the spread in 22 of 23 games is long gone. Don't forget about it. Oh, and by the way, Rudy Gobert stops everything down low. And in my final minute here on the roll call, let's just talk about the Brooklyn Nets. We could probably, you know, gush about James Harden continuing his dominance, 44 points and double-digit rebounds and routinely going for double-digit assists, leading the NBA in assists per game. This, again, is about the addition of Blake Griffin. And I'm going to say it, but listen how I say this. There will be an addition of a future All-Star and a future Hall of Famer in Kevin Durant. All books say all engines will be go. Kevin Durant will come back, and even if he's 85, 90%.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
...of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving had some family issues again, but he'll be back. The Brooklyn Nets right now are the best team in the NBA. We talk about best. It's Joe Lisi. Joins me next. Betting Around the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How's it going on this Saturday morning? Betting Around the Rim, Keith Irizarry with you. Joe Lisi, Go for the Two on Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you guys follow him. Joins us now, one of our Sports Grid insiders. You can see him on In Game Live, so many different shows. Joe, before we, you know, welcome each other in and no pleasantries, it's Palm Sunday tomorrow. We've got the Sweet 16 today. It's a big religious weekend for us. If you're Jewish, it's Passover as well. So I want to play some audio for you before we even talk. Sister Jean, talk to us all.
Sister Jean, can you give us a preview of your prayer going up against Oregon State this weekend?
I'll give you part of it, but I can't tell it all because Oregon State might be listening, and I don't want them to hear what we're going to do. I say two different prayers. I have one for the fans, and then I have one for the team. And perhaps you want me to talk more about the one for the team. And what I will start out with when I chat with them on the phone tomorrow or Saturday, I will say, you know what? You believe in yourselves. I believe in you. Porter believes in you. The fans believe in you. Let's show the world that they need to believe in you too. So just get out and win that game. Just do it.
That's Joe Lisi? Intense.
Yeah.
That's intense.
React to that, Joe.
It's great. It's great to see Sister Jean back the team. I mean, that's what college athletics are all about, Keith. That's what the NCAA tournament is all about. And Loyola of Chicago's hitting on all cylinders. That was a dominant defensive effort against the Illini last week. They stepped up. They were confident. And I think they're going to be a confident group going up against Oregon State. Now, this team in Oregon State, though, is really catching lightning in a bottle. They're playing very well. That dominant performance over Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State was a telling sign of what we can expect in this game. I think Loyola does win, but I feel that Oregon State does cover the 7-point number. That's a huge number in a game that I think it'll be low scoring with two solid defenses stepping up in this matchup later today.
Yeah, I'm with you. Oregon State 5-0 against the spread in their last five games on neutral sites, 19-6-1 against the spread during a stretch as well. All right, so if we continue to dive into that game a little bit, and really, I mean, Sister Jean is like, she's awesome. I want to like hang out with her. But anyway, yeah.
Me too.
We should invite her over for Palm Sunday dinner. If we go further with this one, Loyola Chicago, and I can't remember if you and I talked about this last week or not, but Do you believe that they were just criminally underseeded? And maybe that's a reason why a lot of people kind of overlook them per se, because they ended up as an 8 seed. But if you believe in the KenPom ratings, and a lot of us do, they were a top 10 team.
I think that's one part of it. I think the other part of it is, you know, there's parity in college basketball. I mean, we've seen it throughout the tournament. I mean, look at how many favorites failed to cover from just the Vegas and New Jersey angle, lost the game outright. So I think it's twofold. I think Loyola should have been maybe a 5 or a 6 seed, you know, and we made the argument the same for LSU as well. Other teams were seeded a lot lower than maybe where they should have been. But that, again, still was a dominant defensive effort. And the Illini really got taken out of their game plan. I mean, they really got taken to the woodshed in the sense of physical under the boards. They couldn't out-rebound and out-muscle Loyola Chicago. And they just looked like a deer in the headlights once they fell behind. When they couldn't dictate tempo, they just looked like a fish out of water. And that's the biggest reason why the Illini dropped that matchup last Saturday.
Joe, I don't have a strong lean on the Villanova and the Baylor game. My belief is that Baylor is one of the best teams in America, and I have them going to the final. But the 6.5 or 7.5 points, depending on what book you're looking at, it's a large number. And every time I doubt Villanova, I'm wrong. So which way are you going?
I'm taking Villanova here. I think, you know, this is another team that at the start of the tournament without Gillespie in terms of the lineup, a lot of people didn't think that this team could step up. They dominated North Texas. They have big men that could, you know, out-rebound Baylor and make Jared Butler and that offense work on the offensive side of the ball. And that's the biggest thing for me, is that Jay Wright will have a good offense and defensive game plan in place. Now, can they pull this out without Gillespie in the lineup remains to be seen. But from a Vegas angle, in terms of the gambling aspect, 7.5 points, I think, is way too much. I don't look at that victory over Baylor, over Whiskey, as a dominant effort. I just thought that Wisconsin didn't have the horses to keep with Baylor. And to me, that's the way I broke that game down, Keith. So I think Baylor wins, but I do feel that Nova does cover the 7.5 point number today.
I like it. Again, Joe Lisi joining me, Keith Irizarry betting around the rim. Oral Roberts and Arkansas, two teams that actually did play back in December. Oral Roberts had a lead at the half and then got blown out in the second half. When we try to handicap this game too, Arkansas is winning. They haven't been dominant. This is a large number at 11.5.
I'm laying it here with Arkansas, and the reason why is, you know, you talk about that game where they trailed by 10 points earlier in the year in December. That was before they reeled off 12 straight SEC wins at the end of the year and were possibly the best team in the SEC heading into the month of March. That being said, I think they have an identity. They got through a tough matchup with Texas Tech. They're battle-tested. Both teams are going to want to push tempo, but Moody and the crew, to me, are the difference. They're hitting on all cylinders, and I like them in this matchup. It seems like a big number, and I tend to take the underdog in those type of situations. But with this matchup with Oral Roberts and even the perception of the public, I'm back in Arkansas. I think clearly they're the better team and cover this number later today.
I'm going to throw this out at you because I think it's maybe a theory. So I believe Arkansas wins this game. I do, right? And I think that if they win this game, I think you're right. They win this, you know, by 15, 16 points. Would you maybe sprinkle a little money on Oral Roberts' money line just to back you up a little bit? Because if everything goes right and Arkansas, you know, struggles a little bit, Oral Roberts has firepower on offense.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point in terms of taking the money line. I mean, clearly any underdog over 10 points has a legitimate chance to win games. I mean, we've seen it throughout the tournament. So you're going to get great value in terms of taking Oral Roberts. But I in this matchup, though, for me, I'm scared because the perception in the public are so much on Oral Roberts now after they knocked off Ohio State and Florida, that's where I tend to go contrarian and back the more athletic team in Moody and Arkansas.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like when Abilene Christian, everyone fell in love with them, and then they got blown out in round number two. All right, the night capper tonight, Syracuse and Houston. I think this is the most difficult game to pick because everything Syracuse does well is what Houston would not do well against. Houston is a pick and roll team. Don't shoot that well from outside. Syracuse is the best team in the NCAA against the pick and roll. How do you see it?
This is my best bet for the evening. I love Houston here. I picked Houston to win it all. I think this is just a bad matchup for Syracuse and Buddy Boeheim. I think they're going to make them work on both sides of the ball. And even though Houston is not a consistent shooting team, I think they're going to outwork them on the defensive side of the ball, wear them down even when they have to work for shots. They're not going to have these wide open threes that Miles McBride and West Virginia gave them last week. They're going to fight through screens. They're going to make Syracuse work on the offensive side of the ball, and that's where I think they can wear them down and then get easy buckets as this game progresses. They're minus 230 on the money line and -6.5 in terms of the spread. I think they win this ball game by double digits. I said it before, Keith, they're going to bludgeon Buddy Boeheim in this matchup.
That's the key to this one. Joe, I'm so with you on that. If Buddy Boeheim gets 25 points or more, Syracuse wins this game. If Houston can hold him, you know, to 3 3-pointers instead of the 13 he's hit over the last two games, yeah, I'm with you. Then we'll see the flip there. All right, let's get to a few of the Sunday games. I don't know if we have enough time to get to all of them. Creighton and Gonzaga, another large number. You know I love the Zags. I was with you last Monday on In Game Live. I said they'd cover the 15.5. They did. They won by 16. Can they cover this one?
They got through by a hair, Keith. A hair with Austin Reeves.
Well, I don't even have any hair, so there you go.
It was amazing. I mean, right on the number. Here's the thing, though, and here's what I break down. I like Creighton here plus the 13.5. I mean, you have a Big 12 opponent. It opened at 13. It's the same number that they laid with Oklahoma. And now you have a Big East opponent that's basically only catching 13.5 as a 5 seed. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying Gonzaga loses, but Creighton, to me, can cover this number, especially if they're on fire outside the arc. And that's going to be the key, because in the second half, Oklahoma did not drain threes with Austin Reeves and the crew. So that's why they couldn't be within striking distance. Give me Creighton. I think this could be a sneaky pick in terms of they'll get to be there with about 8 minutes left in this contest.
90 seconds left. Florida State, Michigan. How do you see it?
I love the athleticism of Florida State, taking them on the money line as well. But this is a tough matchup with Mike Smith. Wouldn't shock me if Michigan goes to the Elite Eight, but I'll lean to the Seminoles in that matchup.
Yeah, I could see it going either way as well. Isaiah Livers, the loss of him hasn't seemed to affect Michigan yet. UCLA and Alabama, UCLA, they were in that first four, and now they're looking to be in the Elite Eight.
Playing well, but I got to go with Alabama. I picked Alabama and Houston in the championship, so could be in the driver's seat. I love the way the Crimson Tide are playing right now.
Well, you know that my 6-year-old son picked Alabama as well. I'm rooting for both you and for him for Alabama to win, just from a rooting standpoint, not a gambling standpoint, a rooting standpoint. Last game on the docket, hit you up with Oregon, USC. How goes it?
I'm going to take USC. It, you know, wouldn't shock me if Oregon and Dwarkey step up, especially the way they played against Iowa. But laying the short number, Trojans move on.
Yeah, I picked USC as well. I like the Mobley brothers. Joe, have a great week. We'll do it again next week. Good luck to all your bets. We'll talk soon, bro.
Anytime. Love the show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks a lot for coming back to us, Betting Around the Rim. Keith Irizarry with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, MSG Networks, and all these streaming devices bringing worldwide. Wow, Rob Perez joins us now as he does each and every Saturday morning. All right, I just want a quick answer from you, and then I'm going to actually play something for you. In your estimation, who is the best NBA defender of all time? Just give me one answer.
Kawhi Leonard.
Cool. Draymond Green wants you to know that you're wrong. Roll it, guys.
I think when you look at the things that make a great defender, reaction time, toughness, being able to see the picture long before it develops, and most importantly, in order to finish a defensive possession, you got to rebound. And I think I rebound well. And so, when I look at all the facets that make up the defensive side of the ball, I think I'm great in every facet that makes up that side of the ball. And so I think I'm the best defender to ever play in the NBA. And I stand by that. I'll put myself up against anyone.
I mean, this became a big talking point this week. And I'll tell you this. Just throw that. I'm not trying to disparage what Draymond has done. I think he has been a great defender, but I don't know, like, Dennis Rodman, Ben Wallace, Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, if we want to go centers too, Hakeem Olajuwon, Bill Russell, whatever. And then that guy that you mentioned, Kawhi Leonard, too, has been playing pretty much during this generation. What was your reaction when you heard this sound this week?
Yeah, I mean, everything he was talking about, too, is the name I was debating, whether Kawhi Leonard or Scottie Pippen was a name we haven't brought up yet. So is Draymond Green's not the most talented defender of all time. He may be one of the most important defenders of all time because he was the oil to the engine that ran the dynasty death line of Golden State Warriors. They were able to run him at the center position, not being a 7-footer, because of his defense. That's a compliment to him. But in terms of individual talent, if you took Draymond Green and dropped him into the Orlando Magic right now, his impact is not the same that it would be on this Golden State. And that's, again, that's a testament to the organization, the franchise, the coaching staff, and the players themselves. They've built something special there, but it is a team. In terms of individual talent, Draymond Green's not on that list of players that you just mentioned. Kawhi Leonard could play the best defense in the NBA on any team of any era. The same could go for the guys like Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. I don't know if I could say the same about Draymond.
I mean, I'll throw Gary Payton on that list, right? Like, I believe that Gary Payton's the last guard to win Defensive Player of the Year. And then, honestly, I would maybe throw LeBron and Michael Jordan in there as more talented defenders.
Yeah, Ben Simmons has a chance at being the next guard, if you will, to win Defensive Player of the Year, because he's going to get real close this season. But, you know, what does Ben Simmons have in common with guys who have won the award in the past? Ben Simmons, 6'10" without shoes on. I mean, the guy's a monster. He could guard positions 1 through 5. And that's the sentiment that all of these guys carry in common with each other, is you have to be able to guard every position on the floor, no matter how tall you are. That's what made Gary Payton special, was if he got switched onto a center, he could still hold his own. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And we have learned that time and time again with Defensive Players of the Year. Draymond Green is certainly on that list. But in terms of individual talent, for sure, I would take Ben Simmons all day. Kawhi's in another stratosphere, in my opinion, but I would take Ben Simmons as an individual defender starting an expansion team as opposed to Draymond.
Yeah, it's like people just forget that Kawhi Leonard was the most dominant defender for the first, 6 years of his career. Trade deadline happened on Thursday. There was a lot of activity, but maybe not the biggest names. Like, Kyle Lowry didn't end up getting moved. We can get to that in just a second. I thought Denver really helped themselves getting Aaron Gordon.
They're better. They're better than they were before the trade deadline, and that's a positive for Denver. But I'm still stuck, Keith, on the fact that they don't have Jeremy Grant on this roster. We were just talking about the importance of individual defenders, and for this Denver Nuggets team, there is nobody even remotely close to Jeremy Grant and what he did to get that. We remember the Nuggets running the bubble because of Jamal Murray and then Nikola Jokic. But Jeremy Grant's ability to guard the other team's best player, and we're talking about superstar talent, Jeremy Grant's ability to guard LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, guys like that, you can leave him on an island alone and not have to worry. And now that he's gone in Detroit, I have personally been struggling with how Denver is able to fill that void. They thought for a second maybe Torrey Craig could step in there. No, he couldn't step in there. He's gone. We'll bring in Jermichael Green to fill the void. That's not going to work. Is it a combination of Jermichael Green and a healthy Will Barton and Gary Harris? Well, Gary Harris is gone, and the answer is no. The answer is no to that as well. So you cannot take four quarters to make a dollar bill, as Bill Simmons would once say, in this case, on the defensive side of the ball. Aaron Gordon does bring you the athleticism that Jeremy Grant did. I just personally don't trust Aaron Gordon in a playoff series in which he has not been tested yet to guard the likes of those names, to be switched on to an Anthony Davis, and that be enough to keep the Nuggets on pace so that Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic can do their superstar things on the other end. They are better, but are they good enough to win the Western Conference with Aaron Gordon? I'm not there yet.
He is Worldwide Wob. Joining me, Keith Irizarry, on Betting Around the Rim. My producer is trying to sell me on the Miami Heat being a top two team now in the East because of Victor Oladipo. I still want to wait and see if LaMarcus Aldridge signs up there. Where do you sit on the Heat?
I'm as bullish as anybody out there in the market right now, but the problem is they're still losing games, and now they're falling behind Charlotte in the damn division standings. And they got to start putting back some wins together here because they are in a little bit of a losing streak. They showed some real grit coming back in the second half, being down by 27 points last night in Charlotte, only losing by a single possession. So credit to them for that. But I think a lot of people like myself see long-term value in the Miami Heat, especially on the championship odds betting board that you see at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can get them at 30-1. This team is really built for playoff postseason basketball, in my opinion, which is a different sport than the regular campaign. The game slows down into the half court, and they got guys, as far as the eye can see, you can name them now. You've got the Jimmy Butlers, the Iguodalas, the Arizas, hell, even Hero occasionally can switch on to some guys. You got Bam Adebayo. And now you have Oladipo, if I didn't mention him before, of guys that like are made for half-court basketball. And the Miami Heat do play slower. They want to grind you out. They want to run you off the three-point line and funnel you into the paint. And all of those things, combined with clutch scoring and Bam Adebayo's now ability to create for himself, has given this Miami Heat team multiple options to go to down the stretch when the shot clock hits 7 seconds and you need someone to go get you a bucket. Because that happens in the playoffs more times, tenfold, than it does in the regular season. And I do trust the Miami Heat, despite their regular season record, to get me those clutch buckets to win 4 out of 7 games in a playoff series.
Yeah, sitting at 30-1 right now. Earlier in the week, we're at 44-1. We here at Sports Grid, we were telling everybody, if you're looking for a future, Miami Heat had the opportunity for you. A lot of good value there. The Blazers bring in Norman Powell. I didn't love getting rid of Gary Trent Jr., but I think you had to give away something to get Powell. That offense is quite dynamic now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people out there were saying they're the ones that just should have gotten Aaron Gordon, because all you have is Robert Covington as your swingman perimeter defender on that team. But Norman Powell can hold his own. He's certainly not as big or as tall as Aaron Gordon, but he does add something that they didn't have in Rodney Hood before. They lost Gary Trent Jr., who, despite his three-point shooting prowess, was an absolute dog guarding other teams' point guards. So they are going to lose a little perimeter defense there. They're hoping to fill that with Norman Powell. And the big question, as always, is where is LaMarcus Aldridge going to sign once, you know, the buyout is complete? People are saying Miami, maybe Boston, Phoenix could be a dark horse. Maybe a return to Portland is in order. But Yusuf Nurkic just came back there. And I think Portland probably needs to focus a little bit more on that perimeter defense than they do the interior, because despite having a dynamic offense, there are still plenty of holes to fill. And while LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond are the big names, now that Gorgui Dieng is available in the buyout market as well, I do think he will fit into teams better that have the offense box checked. And Portland does check that box, so I would give Dieng a look.
The ongoing lemon pepper wings discussion and joke aside, Lou Williams going to Atlanta, Rondo, he's headed over to the LA Clippers. Clippers now have a point guard that they can count on in the postseason. Does it change your view on the Clippers going forward?
Yeah, my question back to the Clippers is, did they need one? Did they need one? Because Paul George can dribble the ball up. Kawhi Leonard could dribble the ball up. And honestly, Lou Williams would play point guard down the stretch of those games that you need a bucket to go to. So you bring in Rondo for a couple reasons. One, he's been there before. He brings championship leadership. But they have that in Kawhi and Serge Ibaka. They may not be the most vocal guys in the world on the court, but I'm going to be interested to see if Rondo's leadership in exchange for Lou Williams' offense is a trade that will be net positive in the long run for the Los Angeles Clippers. While I may not be the biggest fan of it on paper, everywhere that Rondo seems to go in the playoffs, there's a reason why his nickname is Playoff Rondo, because despite what you get in the regular season, the man shows up and he makes your team better. Now, how does he make the Los Angeles Clippers better when he's out there with Patrick Beverley and Serge Ibaka and Zubats and Kawhi and Paul George? Like a backcourt of Pat Beverley and Rondo, if it ever happens, you're going to have five guys standing in the paint. And I got to see how it works first before I'm judgmental, because I am skeptical, but that's why they play the game.
Again, Worldwide Bob joining me, Keith Irizarry, betting around the rim. The Chicago Bulls add an all-star to Zach LaVine. I think it's a sign that they want to get into the playoffs, obviously, this year and build a little bit, but even towards the future as well. Like, pairing those two should be nice.
They had to make a move at some point. When you have a backcourt that's Kobe White, Zach LaVine, and that's not like championship ready, we're one piece away, but you want to surround these guys with some help. And the same you could be said about Nikola Vucevic for the past couple of years in Orlando. If it said L.A. or New York on the front of his jersey, people would not stop talking about how good this guy is. Now that he goes to Chicago, that conversation is going to finally rear its head. And did they give up a lot to get these guys? Because it wasn't just Vucevic. They were busy at the trade deadline getting other guys as well. It cost them Wendell Carter Jr. It cost them the Otto Porter that they traded for and invested a couple of years in. It cost them a lot of draft picks. But I think Vucevic is worth it. If you put these three guys together, that's Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Vucevic, combined with a perimeter defender like Patrick Williams, and then you've got Thaddeus Young having the best year of his career in year 72, it's a pretty formidable lineup. It's not going to win a championship, but you're building towards something there while also being competitive. So it's like a combination of reloading and rebuilding. So I'm all for it.
Less than a minute to go with you. The Lakers did not make any moves. Is this all about they just expect they're going to be able to get Andre Drummond, or what do you make of it?
You would figure Drummond's living there right now in Los Angeles. He's liking Laker posts on Instagram. It seems like a match made in heaven. I just don't know really what Andre Drummond brings you to carry this team while LeBron and Anthony Davis are out. They got a big win against Cleveland last night, which they needed. I can't believe I'm saying that. They got a game against Orlando coming up at home. And they got to win those games because they do not want to get stuck into a play-in tournament against Steph Curry in May.
Rob, you rolling with Sister Jean and Loyola of Chicago against Oregon State today? Got to roll with Sister Jean, right?
7-point favorites, having divine backing. Why not? Straight up, of course, I'll take them just because of the number.
Exactly. Palm Sunday's tomorrow. It's a religious weekend. Got to roll with them. We'll roll with you again next week. There he is, Worldwide Bob, joining me, Keith Irizarry. It's Betting Around the Rim.
Thanks, guys.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
you believe it? 2 hours almost in the books. I was just saying during the commercial break to Kofsky and John how fast these 2 hours went. Hope it felt good for you guys as well. Let's help you out with a couple of best bets. I'm going to go to my first one in college. I'm going to call this the Joe Lisi special. Joe Lisi told us about a half hour ago his best bet was Houston winning and covering. I'm going to go to the opposite side of things. I think Houston is going to probably win this game, but Syracuse at 6.5 can keep this game tight. I want to keep coming back to this. The fact that Houston runs pick and roll on 31% of their possessions, that ranks 85th highest rate in the country. Syracuse is the third lowest rate of people being able to actually be successful against them on the pick and roll. So yeah, I know Kelvin Sampson has had a while to prepare for this game, but so has Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. I'm not going Syracuse money line or anything like that, but I think Syracuse can cover these points. This stays tight, and that's a really good one for you in Syracuse at +6.5. Let's go over to Utah. And in my roll call, I was talking about how people are just kind of forgetting about the Utah Jazz. Do not forget about Donovan Mitchell, 3 consecutive games hitting 5 3-pointers. So FanDuel always has these great bets on, you know, blank or more made threes. Let's get some love here. Let's get into some positive money. Donovan Mitchell, 5 or more made threes against Memphis tonight. He's done it 3 consecutive games. And also Memphis allows the 11th most 3-pointers per game made. So there is definitely some value there in Donovan Mitchell hitting those 3-pointers. There's some value against that Grizzlies defense. There's also some value in the team that I have here. I got to tell you what a Saturday it was, and everyone will be back on Sunday. We were happy to have Sarah back in the saddle. Big game James, I think, is with us tomorrow. Kofsky doing his thing. Kofskadamus, as we call him. John Shames behind the scenes. Steve and EJ as well. We find ourselves, no offense to Oregon State, I think we all find ourselves just rooting for Loyola of Chicago. The Sister Jean storyline has been awesome. The divine intervention is fantastic. And again, it's a religious weekend, so it just makes sense. Remember, if you can't trust me, how can you trust yourself? I am Keith Irizarry, back at it tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, betting around the rim.